Hello, graduating class of 2020 from Hartford Christian School. It's been a long-standing tradition that as our seniors graduate, that one of the pastors of Reformation Bible Church gives the graduating class an exposition of Scripture to send them on their way with the counsel of God's Word. And so that's what I want to accomplish with you for a few minutes here. I just want to talk to you and give you the counsel of God so that you might be well prepared for life outside of the walls of this school. Please know that the Congregation of Reformation Bible Church has prayed for you very often. And we love each of the students that the Lord has given to us at Hartford Christian School. We take very seriously the stewardship that the Lord has given us in having a ministry like the school. We have invested greatly in your education, and we desire what God's best for each of you. I want to turn in Scripture to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, which I think is a passage that is directly applicable to each of you as you transition into a new phase of life. You're probably aware that the book of Proverbs is written by a father to a son to ready that son for all of the dangers and toils and snares that life in a fallen planet has in store. Proverbs chapter 3 is particularly suited for young people who are transitioning out of one phase of life and into another. And I think that you'll see that as we read the first 12 verses of this chapter of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 3 in verses 1 through 12. Hear now the Word of God. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. For it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Verse 1 tells us the recipient of this wise counsel. He's addressed as my son. Here's a young man who is on the threshold of going out into life independently. He's not a child. He's a young man with whom you can speak about adult subjects. In verses 5 and 6, there's the thought of the Lord directly leading this young man. In verses 9 and 10, there's a thought that envisions this young man having his own income and his own property. And in verses 11 and 12, the council speaks of this young man as being outside of his father's discipline and under the direct discipline of the Lord from now on. And so here's a young man who's about ready to go out into life. He's going to have to stand on his own from now on. And the passage is counseling him about this critical season of life, a season of life where he'll have a job of his own, where he'll be seeking a wife and getting married, when he'll have children of his own and establish a household of his own. He's about to cross a bridge from one bank of the river out over into the other bank. You recognize yourself here? You recognize that you're at a very similar place of life, about ready to cross a bridge out into the unknown? The Lord knows the path that you're going to take. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And so I want to talk to you for a few minutes from Proverbs chapter 3 about divine counsel for a life's transition. And I hope that you will listen carefully to what God has to say to young people in your exact circumstance of life. Now, where does this counsel begin? Well, it begins like any walk does across a bridge. It begins on the side that you always were. And so what is the side that you've always been? It's the side of the bridge where you are under your parents' instruction and authority. You're about ready to progress out of that. You're transitioning into a new phase. Right now, you're under your parents' authority and under their instruction. And that's where the counsel begins. When the father says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And so what would God have you to understand and to know in order to make this passage into the next phase of your life right? Well, he would have you preserve your parents' instruction. To preserve your parents' instruction. That's the first counsel he gives. He says it negatively, and then he says it positively. In the first place, he says, "Forget not my law or my instruction," as if it is very likely that you could forget what you've learned in your parents' household. And then secondly, he says, "Let thine heart keep or guard my commandments." And the whole thrust of the verse is warning the young person that your parents' training and your parents' instruction is very threatened in this phase of life. Okay? So consider that with me. God says that in the phase of life that you are in right now, that your parents' instruction toward you is severely threatened. Now, what would threaten it? What does the book of Proverbs say is the major threat to a father's counsel? Who is the number one competitor of his children's respect? Well, I think you see this most clearly in chapter 1. If you just turn back the page in Scripture and you see where he begins this book, he begins with a prologue, which is 7 verses long. And then verse 8 is the very first counsel he gives his children. And just note the characters that begin to be spoken of in verse 8. First of all, you have a son. Secondly, you have a father. Third, you have a mother. So a son, his parents. And then who's the next character that the father's going to talk about? Well, it's in verse number 10, sinners. This is where the book of Proverbs begins, warning his children, warning his children who are about ready to transition into life out on their own, that the number one threat to their parents' instruction is going to be this class of people called sinners. Now, who are these people? Well, they are described for us in chapter 2. And so it says in chapter 2 in verse number 12, he talks about how he needs to be delivered from the way of the evil man. That's the same word, from sinners. So what's the description of this person? Well, he says there in the end of verse number 12 that he speaks froward things. Froward means perverse or twisted things. That's the subject matter of his conversations. He says in verse 13, he leaves paths of uprightness. So this is the kind of young person that rejects everything that we're talking about right now. Instead of preserving what he's learned in his parents' home and in his Christian school and this church, he rejects all that he has learned and he goes out his own way and he seeks after the path, the way of darkness in verse 13, rather than the way of light. There's a secret delight in this kind of person to do evil and to get away with it. He says in verse 14, he rejoices to do evil and he delights in the twisted ways of the wicked. And so verse 15 says his path deviates from the law of God. It's crooked and it's twisted and perverted. These kind of peers are the very people to be avoided if you are going to follow the counsel of God's word here and preserve and keep your parents' instruction. That's the first thing. The second thing begins in verse number 3, where he says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart." So these verses direct us to two virtues that we want to be very careful to maintain. In fact, the way that the verse puts it is as if these two virtues have a mind of their own and they're going to walk off if we're not careful. It says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you," as if they're going to walk away, as if they're going to run away if you don't hold them back, if you don't do something active to keep them from wandering off. It's an interesting way of putting it. And so what are these two character qualities that he's going to single out here for this young person that he especially needs to maintain in this phase of his life? Well, the first one is the word mercy. That is a word that has to do with loyalty, steadfast love, covenant-keeping faithfulness. It's that word that has that's used all through the Old Testament, like when it says in Psalm 23, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, that goodness and mercy will follow me, it will pursue me everywhere I go, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's a quality of God. He's faithful to all of his covenants, and his love is steadfast. And he says, you make sure that you are known for that as well. And don't let that virtue wander off. The second thing is the word truth. And the word truth is actually based on the word amen. And it means firm or settled or trustworthy or reliable or dependable. So the person who is marked by mercy and truth is a person that you can count on. They're a person who's dependable and reliable and responsible. They meet their responsibilities. They have certain obligations, and they joyfully go about doing them. And you can count on this person to do the right thing. This is what the Lord tells us will bring you into favor both with God and with others in this critical time of life. To be that kind of person. Dependable, trustworthy, someone that people can count on. Everyone's looking for a person like this. You probably already understand how rare it is for an employer to find a person who's marked by mercy and truth. And if they do find someone like that, they hold on to that person and they value that person. These are the kind of qualities that will help you get ahead in life just in business and in your job. These are especially going to be critical in your relationships. You have got to be the kind of young person that is committed in your relationships. You can't just be bouncing around from one thing to the next, especially when you have committed yourself to someone else. You're entering a time of life where you're going to be seeking a husband or a wife. You're going to be seeking a spouse. And it will be absolutely critical for you to not allow mercy and truth to wander off from you. You've got to keep those virtues and you've got to bind them around your neck. Like when I traveled to Kenya 5 or 6 years ago and I was so paranoid about having my passport stolen. And so I got one of those wallets that has a big old cord around it, and I wore it around my neck and tucked underneath my shirt everywhere I went for the 2 weeks that I was in Kenya. I would not leave my passport in my hotel room. I wouldn't leave it in my suitcase. I wouldn't leave it in my computer bag. That thing was tied around my neck the entire time that I was in Kenya. God wants you to manifest His character by displaying these virtues in your life. And verse number 4 says that this is the way to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. This is the way to find favor in the sight of men, like an employer or your future family. This is going to be key in those areas of your life. You have to be the kind of person who, when you wake up in the morning, remembers that people are counting on you. And so you get up out of bed and you fulfill your responsibilities. And you go to work and you do the job because there are people counting on you. There's a wife, there's a children. You've got to be a person of mercy and truth. And this is also the way to find favor with God, because God has called us to live lives of manifesting His own glory in this world and to show our submission to His lordship by displaying His own characteristics to a watching world. And these are the characteristics of our God. He's a God of mercy and of truth. Now, when you come to verse number 5, the Lord is going to turn our attention away from parents and away from employers and away from other people and concern and rather our relationship with the Lord Himself. And so verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." And so the third counsel, first of all, remember, was to preserve your parents' instruction. The second thing was to hold fast to mercy and truth. And thirdly now is to place your wholehearted confidence in the Lord. That word trust in verse number 5 is a word that has to do with having confidence in something. This is the word that's used whenever the biblical writers talk about and warn us about trusting money. You know what it is to trust money. It's to get from money what you ought to be getting from your relationship with God. You get hope and security and confidence from your resources when you ought to be getting that from God. And so that's the word used here when it says trust in the Lord with all your heart. It means to be confident, to feel secure in God, to hope in God. And the greatest threat that you have against that is yourself. And so He warns you, do not put the weight of your confidence on yourself. You can't do that. It will only lead to disaster in your life. You're not wise enough to venture out on your own. What is your mind compared to the mind of God? Don't lean on your own understanding. Seek the Lord rather in all of your decisions. And that's what He says in the next verse. He says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." In all your ways acknowledge. Now, that word acknowledge is an interesting translation. When we think of the word acknowledge, we think, tipping your hat to somebody, acknowledging them, walk into the room, nod, that kind of thing. That's not the word. It doesn't just mean give a nod to God in all of your planning. What it means is, in all your ways, know Him. In all your ways, know Him. The knowledge of God is the single most important thing in the Christian life. You and I get very distracted from this one needful thing. But at the very center of a Christian's life It's his relationship to God. It's knowing God. And you're aware that a person can know a great deal of things about God without knowing God at all. The critical matter in all of your decision making, in all of your ways, is to know God. I must ask you, do you know God? Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." You must know God, not just know about him, not just assent to certain doctrinal truths. Do you have a relationship with God? Or do you seek to avoid him at all costs? You know the difference between knowing about and knowing. You're no fool. You know what we normally use as criteria for whether you know somebody or not. If I went around bragging, saying that I knew a certain famous person, you would throw me some follow-up questions to see if I really knew them. When's the last time you talked to him? Would he recognize you in a crowd? Those kind of things. All right. Do you know God? When's the last time you talked to him? Have you been avoiding him? Have you been unwilling to face him? Unwilling to square up with him? Have you been living a life of dishonesty with him? Acting as if everything's okay when really it's not? Do you know God? The only way to have eternal life is to know God through Jesus Christ. Christianity is not just someone turning over a new leaf. Christianity is not just assenting to certain propositions. It's not accepting a value system or agreeing to a list of behavior traits. Fundamentally, Christianity is a relationship to Jesus Christ, a relationship to a real living person, a relationship that grows, a relationship that is real, daily. That's what Christianity is. I hope that you have learned that in your years with us. So I ask you one last time, before you venture out, and for many of you we never see again, do you know God through Jesus Christ? It is the one needful thing. You know, you can know God through Christ. He says that he is the way and the truth and the life. That if you want to come to God, it will have to be through him. And the way that he has opened up the opportunity of knowing God is by making an atonement for our sins. You know what keeps you from your relationship to God. It's your sin. Your sin will hinder your relationship to God. The reason why even those of you that do have a relationship with God and are believers in Jesus Christ, the reason why your relationship with him is not what it ought to be, and that very often you're reluctant to seek him and have fellowship with him, is because of sin. Because you realize that if you go to him, and you'll have to face up to the consequences of your sin. You'll have to give up sin. And that's it's exceedingly hard thing to do. And it'll be injurious to your pride, and you're just not willing to do that at this time. And so you keep putting him off. Sin keeps people from knowing God. Jesus Christ has put away sin once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. On the cross, he bore our sins in his body on that tree. He was made to be the curse of the law for us. He was forsaken by God so that we will never be forsaken by God, so that we can know God. And then he resurrected that he might ever live to intercede for us at God's right hand, pleading for our forgiveness and pleading for God's grace and the benefits that he won by his cross work to be ours and to be ministered to us on a daily basis. Jesus Christ is the way that anyone knows God, and no one knows God apart from Jesus Christ. And people who do know God because Christ bore their sins. He's their substitute. He died in their place. He took their punishment. He reconciled them to God, making peace by the blood of his cross. And he lives as a resurrected Savior. And their knowledge of God is a knowledge of a living person. It's the critical thing. Do you know God? In all your ways, acknowledge him. So when it comes to all of your decisions, all of the ways that you're going to take, all the forks in the road, from the little things to the big things, what you do if you're a person who knows God and you want to acknowledge him in all your ways is you ransack Scripture so that you will have the mind of God on that issue before making that critical decision. You want to see things from his viewpoint. You value his counsel. And the outcome of a life like that, a life where you are knowing God in all of your ways, is that he will direct your paths. He'll make your paths straight. Well, we could go on, but I think these six verses are sufficient to setting you on a right trajectory. You could go on and you could look about how God counsels us to fear the Lord and depart from evil, how he counsels us regarding glorifying God with our material goods, how he counsels us regarding receiving his discipline and chastisement in our lives. But I think that the six verses, the three or four things that we've pointed out here together, are sufficient to help you. And so what have we seen? We've seen that as a young person transitions out into life as an independent adult, what they need to remember is to preserve their parents' instruction, because it will be very threatened by their peer group. We have talked about how we have to be careful to preserve and hold fast these virtues of faithfulness and trustworthiness and steadfast loyalty. We've talked about how we need to place our wholehearted confidence in the Lord and not lean on our own simplistic understanding. And we've talked about how we need to know God regarding all of our ways. I wish I could have looked you all in the eyes to tell you these things from Scripture. It was an exceedingly difficult thing to sit here by myself in the library and talk to a camera. You saw all the times that I had to stop and start. I'm no video editor, and so I'm sure you'll be able to see the dozen or so times that I had to correct myself and start again. But I trust that my bumbling through making this video and leaving you with this counsel from God's Word will be used by the Lord nonetheless, and that it will help you in this exceedingly important time of your life. I want to encourage you to stay in the Word. That really is so important. It really is what your knowledge of God is really going to be based on. No one's ever known God apart from God's Word. And really, your knowledge of God is one and the same of your as your relationship to a Bible. And so stay in the Word. Read your Bible individually. Keep on studying it. A lot of you are going out into an environment where the Bible is going to be scorned. And you're going to be surrounded by people that are going to try to convince you that everything that you've learned up to this point has been baloney. So you need to stay in the Word and fortify yourself. Stand in this evil day. Take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. I want to leave you with a benediction from the book of Hebrews, and then I want to pray for you. The writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews 13, in verse number 20, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these 23 seniors that You have entrusted to us for these years. We thank Thee for accomplishing this momentous occasion in their lives, bringing them to their high school graduation. We pray that You would lead them through this time of life, that You would protect them from the counsel of the ungodly, that You would fortify them against the temptations of the devil, and that You would give them grace and strength to stand for Thee in this evil day. I pray that every one of them would know You and pursue a growing knowledge of You. Pray that You would use each one of them, and that every one of them would give of their best to the Master, even the strength of their youth. And may the graduating class of 2020 accomplish things for time and eternity and be true servants of the Lord of hosts. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.